And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your protection upon your people. And I praise you, Lord, for doing that for all your people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that not so many people were killed during this storm, came ashore already. I think I've only heard of 3 people dying. And Lord, it being the largest one to hit that part of the coast in many a year, it's amazing that your grace extends out like that. It looks like this was a planned hurricane. And Father, we just we praise you for the protection that you provided for people. I know there's a lot of loss of property damage and all of that, Lord, but we can get over that. It's the life that we can't say when it happened. Lord, we just thank you so much for being with us tonight and helping us to, leading us to do what it is that you want us to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping us on the right track. Father, we want to be on the narrow road. We don't want nothing to do with the broad roads. You know, Lord, sometimes our flesh, as you know, gets in the way. And our wants, I want this, I want that. And Lord, you're teaching us to give it up for what you want. And I thank you for showing us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You have so much grace, Lord, and so much mercy upon our lives. It's just hard for us to fathom that, Lord. But I know, and Lord, I just thank you for having that much grace. I know especially for me. And I thank you, Lord, for having it for all my brothers and sisters out there too. And I ask, Lord, that you guide us tonight. Lead us into what you'd have us to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Andrew.
Prayer?
Yeah, go ahead, Joel.
I want to lift up my friend Dawn down in Florida. She's had a kidney transplant and been in the hospital lately with a real bad bed sore. Something happened where she got MRSA or something maybe in her leg, and I haven't been able to get a good word from her. I see that she's really pouring her heart out to the Lord, but today she kind of threw up practically a surrender, just felt like she was losing contact with everybody, and wanted to lift her up. I've been encouraging her today, and I can see that she's still kind of hanging in there and encouraged, but I'd really love to see a supernatural just blanket over her of love and hope and whatever, you know, just peace, that no matter what happens to that shell that she's living in, that she's got total peace and is, you know, sharing joy with other people, which I see she's doing that, which is pretty awesome. But anyway, just want to lift her up if y'all will. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just lift her up to you, and we thank you, Lord, for the awesome work you're doing in her. We just believe with George that you're going to do a mighty miracle there. And we thank you for it, Father. We just praise you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work there. And we just praise your holy name, Lord, for the peace you've given her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? I want to pray for my daughter, Michelle. She's headed back to Arkansas. Lord, I lift up Michelle to you, and I thank you, Lord, for getting her back to Arkansas safely. I know it's a long, long trip. I think it's like a 20-hour trip. But, Lord, I just praise you for being with her dealing with her while she's on the way home. And that by the time that she gets home, Lord, she'll have a great testimony to share of your grace and your mercy upon her life, to grant repentance to her, and to cleanse her, and to filter out all of that bitterness and anger and all the other things, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I know you can do it, Lord. I've seen you do it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? How about a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I guess I got more of a prayer request. I could use a, you know, good healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. You know, if I'm kind of behind on some of the messages there. I listened to yours about the fear of the Lord, and I like how you said that. Yeah, you know, when you don't have a true, you know, I guess revelation or just, you know, remembrance of, you'll stand before the Lord one day. You know, the judgment seat of Christ, we as believers, and it's easy to get lazy and just, you know, waste your time and struggle in certain sins, keep falling back, you know, back and forth, so to speak. And I think I need a good healthy dose of the fear of the Lord just to kind of keep my mind centered or on the right things and to keep moving forward to be a lot more obedient, I guess you could say. So I could use some prayer in that area.
Okay. You know? Father, we just lift up Joe to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given him the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And Father, I just ask and I pray that you just motivate him with that fear, that it be a blanket on him, that he would run after you, but not in fear, but in love, Lord. We thank you for placing love for you, Lord, in Joe. We need the fear sometimes to motivate us to get back in the Word, but once we're in there, we see how much love that you have for us, and we see that we want that love as well, and the only way that we can attain that love is by studying what love is all about. And you said, you told us that love is the main thing.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that for Joe.
Amen.
You're going to put the fear in him to get him motivated, but also you're going to put the love in him to keep him motivated, because that's the essence of everything that you are, Lord. And we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, I'm a little reluctant to do this because I've been faith, my wife and I have, but I need you guys to all agree with me, with us, that our son Blake is going to make the move down to Tennessee with us. He's getting a little string of independence, and he's kind of thinking that he might want to stay up here, and we're really believing and we're really praying and wanting and everything else. I think it's God's will, but I just wish, if you guys would all believe with us, that Blake will be making the trip down there with us and staying with us.
Amen. We break that spirit of rebelliousness in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to be you that shows him and changes him. And we just believe it, Lord, in Jesus' name, that he's going to be willing to go before it's time to go. And I believe it. I'm going to rest in it because I know it's done in the name of Jesus. Because we've been praying for him down here too, Tim. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, Barbara. How you doing, girl?
Yeah. Oh, can you hear me? Hi.
Hey, girl.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, loud and clear.
Okay, because I'm on a new computer and I just downloaded this Zoom, so I don't know anyone. I don't know if I set this up right. I'm just doing it now.
You're sounding good. You're sounding good.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Good to have you on.
Thank you. God bless you all.
You too. Go ahead, George.
Just want to lift up Tim's son, Blake. And Father, in the Spirit, I want you to touch his heart and remind him of his first love. I want you to give him grace to honor his father and mother and the reward of long life, the life that you have planned for him. Father, I thank you that you are lighting every step of Blake's, that you are guiding his steps, and that he can trust you, and he is giving his trust over to you, and he's not going to question you. He's going to trust you, and he's going to find joy in trusting you and having no anxiety and no second thoughts and not looking back. But he's going to look forward to the path and the life that you have for him. And Father, I thank you for the adventure that Blake is going on in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Anybody have anything that they'd like to ask a question or talk about tonight? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I'd just like to pray about something.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we hold our loved ones before you, Lord. The mountain that's set before us, the mountain of this fighting and this rebellion that's all over the land, Lord. We take this mountain, as it says in your word, and we cast it into the sea. We affirm this because you told us to have God's faith, that these items that would make people rebellious and our loved ones rebellious, the things in the news and the things on TV, would go from them, Lord. Because it's a factious, dark spirit that needs to be cast away, cast into the sea. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We thank you for doing that, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
After that prophecy we had on Tuesday, I've been in Isaiah a little bit, and there's quite a bit of prophecy in Isaiah, but one that struck me, and I don't really know what the timeline of it is, but it just it seemed to be, you know, aligned with what Mina Lee Graven, I guess was her name, said. And it was in 28 and 22, just the verse that came across it after her prophecy, and so I thought I'd just bring it back to everybody's mind. Now therefore be ye not scoffers, lest your bonds be made strong. For a decree of destruction have I heard from the Lord Jehovah of hosts upon the whole earth. And his judgment is, you know, is definitely coming. And in various other places in 28, you know, it talks about the escape of the people of Zion and the elect, but the whole earth is going to be judged. And whether we hear it from her or take it from the Word, we need to be aware of it and be in prayer about it.
Amen. Well, I believe this hurricane came up through there was a judgment too. And I think it's showing us God's grace a lot too. That's just what I think. I think God shows, hey, look, I can do whatever I want to, when I want to. And you need to, you know, check me out. Okay, anybody else?
On that hurricane, I didn't really follow the news very much about it, but I did see a couple of things on the Weather Channel, and his grace had to be abounding on those people in the Gulf Coast of Florida because of the destruction I saw. It is, you know, completely miraculous that there's only three people that died in that. You know, you could have been, you know, 10,000 times that very easily with the destruction, you know. Buildings ripped apart, airplanes flipped over, boats on land. That storm surge, you know, at the lowest elevation of all of Florida is, it was just a real grace of God that nobody, not many more, would kill.
Absolutely. I believe that too. I believe it. Okay, anybody else? There was a question asked the other day. Missy, help me out here. Maybe Barbara, did you get your question answered? And I'm doing that because I wanted to bring the question out here if we could.
What question was that?
That's what I'm trying to find out. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I have many questions, but I don't remember specifically what you're referring to.
Okay. All right. It was, I know what it was. There was a question asked about if a person that is unconscious or maybe unconscious. Let's say somebody that's unconscious, that's being got tubes coming out of them and all that kind of thing. Can they hear the message of salvation? Can they understand the message of salvation? And is there biblical scriptures to back that up? Has anybody got any? Any insight into that?
Just from experience with family members that have been in comas, and recently a friend of mine whose mother-in-law has been on the verge of, she basically was off of solid food and couldn't even take in liquids, but she got a promise for her and prayed her back to having liquids, and her health is coming around a little bit. We're in the middle of that one, but I can remember family members in comas that said they knew everything that was going on around them. They knew every ward that came in to change them and pat them down and mock them, and every conversation and ridicule, everything that was going on around them, they were alive and wishing they could reach out and get a hold of them.
Absolutely.
So who knows? What I've been praying for that lady is that she will prosper and be in health even as her soul prospers. And I believe we can feed the soul of somebody if they can't do nothing, that their spirit and their soul is attentive to the word and the life that we pour into them. And it is it's a fountain of life. I would not take it for granted. I would, you know, I live, the reason I touch people and pray and reach out in faith mostly is because of doing unto others as I would have them do unto me. And if I could put myself in their shoes, I would surely hope that somebody would not just leave me there like a doorstop, but would try and really bring me, you know, see something percolating in that body.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can tell you about an experience that happened with me. I believe it was in 99 or 2000, somewhere along in there. My brother-in-law was a diabetic, and I had called him the week prior to him going into the hospital, and I knew he was having some trouble, and I told him, I said, Richard, let me come up there and pray for you. Oh, I'm okay, I'll be all right. I said, okay. As he said, matter of fact, you know, and I tried to call him again, try to talk to him, and he wouldn't answer my calls. He wouldn't answer my texts. He wouldn't answer nothing, you know. Didn't want me messing with him, primarily. Sunday morning, that weekend, Saturday, he went into a coma, diabetic coma, and they couldn't pull him out of it. And my sister called me and told me about it. And I said, well, you know, he didn't want me up there. I don't know what I can do, you know. She said, well, I know. So Sunday night, it was Sunday morning, early, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up and told me, he said, I want you to go up there and pray for Richard. And I said, well, Lord, he didn't want me up there. I said, besides that, he's in a coma. He said, I told you to get up and go up there and pray for him. Now, baseball for me was about 30 miles away, which wasn't no problem. I said, okay, Lord. So I got in my truck and I headed up there to Batesville, to the hospital. And on the way, I had called my sister and told her, you know, hey, I'm coming up there. The Lord told me to come up there and pray for Richard. I just want you to keep the nurses out while I'm in there ministering to him. And she said, okay, I can do that. And when I walked in the door of the waiting room, the Lord told me, said, grab Alanette, tell you Alanette is my sister, and bring her in there with you. And I said, yes, sir. And I had asked him, I said, Lord, this guy's in a coma. How in the world am I going to talk to him and he's in the coma? And he told me, he said, well, his spirit can hear you. His spirit can respond to you. You're not going to be able to see it, but he can respond to you. Because I had been praying for his salvation since 97. I said, okay. And so I went in there and I told him, I said, you got to forgive Richard. I said, forgive everybody, because you're fixing to go out of here and you don't want to go anywhere but to heaven, you know. And I just kind of went that way. We're just talking to him. I said, now you need to confess everything, and then you need to ask the Lord to save you. And I said, he will. I said, you're going to die. That's what the doctors tell me, because, you know, I said, he had already rejected God's healing. And I said, you're going to die, and you need the Lord, so you'll be in heaven. And when I got through praying for him, the Lord said, now pray for Alanette. Ask her if she wants the same thing. And I did, and she did, and we did, and we we all just had a good time right then. And I left, and 2 hours later, he died. Richard died. And I believe that the Lord saved him at the last minute. I really do. Or he wouldn't have had me get up there and do that, you know. And so, yeah, I believe that too. I believe the Lord can use their spirit to receive salvation. And I believe he did Richard. So that's just my experience, you know.
Just quickly, as far as scripture, where the word says God, that the spirit prays with groanings which cannot be uttered, I believe that is something that's available to that state to respond. It might not be something we recognize as much as the spirit in them is expressing itself. And I think Paul talks about that something equal to like one word in tongues could be like 1,000 words or something like that. And, you know, just because we only hear a syllable or gurgle don't mean it ain't a eloquent prayer in heaven.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Go ahead, Tim.
I've got a couple of anecdotal things, kind of like you guys too, but as far as scripture goes, Lazarus and John came to mind, and after being dead for 4 days, Lazarus responded to the voice of the Lord, so his spirit heard, even though he wasn't, you know, he was beyond comatose, he was gone, and responded. So I would say that might be scriptural evidence that somebody that may not appear all there can definitely hear.
Yeah, Tim, that was the first thing I thought of too, was Lazarus. Amen.
It can also be backed up with what God heard from Abel when he said that he hears the blood of Abel.
Yep. Amen. That's another one. Praise God. We should never give up hope, should we? We should never give up on the Lord, I should say, because the Lord can do anything. He brought Lazarus out of there with the cloth on him, and what did women say? Lord, he stinks in there. He's stinking in there. What do you mean, open that thing up? Man, it's going to be funky, Lord. You know? Lord said, open that thing up. I'm going to show you something. He did too. Praise God. He did. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of scriptures in there that will back up what we're talking about here. That preacher in, where was it? Was it Nigeria? I believe it was Nigeria that was dead for 4 days. Filled with embalming fluids. And his wife didn't give up on him. She asked his dad if she couldn't take him down there to the man of God's meeting down there. I'm talking about Richard Bonnke. Bonnke had a meeting going on. He said, yeah, I'll take him on down there if you want to. I ain't going. But she took him down there. Yeah, Missy. Oh, you waving?
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish, and then when you're done, sorry.
Okay. But anyway, they take him up there to Monkey's. She's pulled right up to the front door, fixing to try to get him unloaded and take him in sanctuary. And the people there said, no, let's take him down to the basement now. We don't want to go up there and disrupt anything. And they took him down there to the basement, and they started praying for that guy, and he came back to life. He came back to life. 4 days later, full of embalming fluids. Good gracious, that's God. That is God. And he had the fear of God all over him because God took him to hell and showed him what was going on, where his abode was going to be if he didn't change. But praise God, God saved him. He said when he came back, let me tell us one little story about that. Missy, what impressed me more than anything about the whole thing, he said what had happened, he had had a little spat with his wife that morning when he left out of there. He still had unforgiveness in his heart toward his wife. And the Lord told him, that's what would have sent you to hell if I hadn't had mercy and grace on you, you know, had my grace on you. And I'm going to send you back to tell the people what I've told you. And he said, when something started rising up in him, he'd run to the bathroom and lock a door. He did, because the Lord had showed him hell. And he didn't want no part of that place. And that's the fear of God, you know. That man had the fear of God, and he knew what the fear of God was. All right, Missy, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. What I was going to say was, you know, part of what you just said, what's interesting about that was, when you brought up about, you know, his wife was, you know, didn't give up, you know, and I was thinking, yeah, and he had unforgiveness towards her, and she's the one that didn't give up on him, you know, so, yeah.
You just had to bring that out, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
That's okay. Yeah, she endured in her faith to the end, didn't she? She saw the manifestation of it. Praise God. Yeah, she was strong. All right. So what we're seeing here is God can do anything. So we don't give up on anybody. Not even after they're, I tell you, there's some things that I could tell you, but I ain't going to because y'all think I'm weird. But there's some things that I'm still believing, you know, for such things. All right. Anybody else? What about this? Check this out. What happened on the resurrection? Jesus' resurrection. People come out of them graves, didn't they? All over town, people come out them graves. How, some of them probably dead for I don't know how many years, you know. It doesn't say. Did it say how many there was? I don't believe it even said that, did it? I've heard some say it was about 500, but how in the world did they know? God can do it. I believe that's going to happen again, y'all. I believe that'll happen again. Anybody not believe that? I do. I believe it's going to happen again. Because we had a sister that died here a few years ago. And we had word after word after word after word that she was coming back. And I don't know. We'll see. I believe it, she will. Yeah, Joe.
Would that entail the unsaved? Or are you saying those who were just, I guess, because I think from what I remember, yeah, it was the saints of the Old Testament that rose from the grave. Would you see the unsaved too?
No, I didn't say the unsaved. I just said that they were some raised up from the dead.
Yeah, I know you didn't say unsaved. I say, would that be something that God would do? I mean, you know, unsaved loved ones, that he could raise them back from the dead.
Well, I don't put him in the box. If he wants to do that, he can do it, and I'll believe it.
Okay.
I can tell you this. We had a lady one morning and I probably related this once before. In the prayer meeting, and she said, can I believe for my dad that's been dead for so many years? Hmm. Well, does God deal in time?
Nope.
He does not deal in time. Well, if your faith is such that you can believe that your dead loved one was saved, then what's to, who's to say that it's not, you know, I don't know. But I, if I tell you what I did, when I heard that, I said, yeah, I'm going to embrace that because I got a, my dad, I didn't know if he was saved or not. And I said, Lord, I thank you for saving him too.
Huh. Interesting.
I believe it. I can believe it.
Gotcha.
God said he could do anything, didn't he? Listen, he made, you, just look around you. Is there anything around you that God did not make? There's nothing that he did not make. He made Adam and Eve. He made the devil. He made us. He made them. He can do it. I am that I am. Doesn't put any time limit on it either, does it? So I believe he can do whatever he wants to do. Yeah, Missy.
I don't know how many of you will remember this. The Lord gave me a revelation about time, you know, that he doesn't dwell in time, since we're kind of talking on this. Remember when I shared about, you know, with God sees the end from the beginning, okay? And really, he doesn't see. This is the beginning, this is the end. With God, there's no time. So really, there is no difference. To him, they're the same. The end and the beginning is the same. Because there's no time in between, because with God, there is no time. Okay, well then, I got to really thinking about this one day when I was taking a walk. This was maybe about a month and a half ago. And I was thinking about God speaking things into being. And then, you know, what I realized, what the Lord showed me was, is that Darwin, as far as his Big Bang theory, you know, this Big Bang theory, he really wasn't off in that respect, because except that he didn't give God credit, because this is what the Lord showed me. When God spoke everything into being, since there is no time, it's just like he spoke it, and it was like everything was at once that he spoke. And can you imagine what energy and force and everything that created? Bang. That's what I was like, wow. And I actually, Michael, I asked Sandy if I was telling her about this. And I said, did you ever realize that? Did you ever see that? She goes, yep, I did. I'm like, that is so cool. I mean, I was just like, wow. I was just like so amazed. You know, and okay, that's how mighty and powerful and how much energy. And I don't even have words to express, you know, the power of God when you think about that. And because I was also kind of thinking along the lines about how powerful our words are too, that everything we say creates something. You create either a blessing or a curse, you know. Our words are powerful, you know. And when you really put it into perspective, you know, in what I just said about how powerful God is, you know, and just his speaking, how powerful it was, that it's like he spoke everything at once and everything was created. Now, it was put in the Bible the way that it was for us to understand it. But when you realize, you know, how much power with God has, and that with him there is no time, it's just like, wow. I mean, it was this big explosion. And wow, that's just, now I'm old thing that, you know, we came from apes and all that kind of stuff, but anyway, I was like, wow, Lord, you're so cool.
Yeah, if you think about it, he said, let there be light. And when he said, let there be light, he didn't tell it to stop, did he? And when he created the universe, he didn't tell the universe to stop creating itself. It just keeps on going. They say the universe is expanding exponentially every day. I don't know how in the world they can tell that, but I guess they got a telescope up there somewhere or a satellite somewhere that looks at the edge of the universe. I don't know. But anyway, that's right. When he spoke, the energy that went forth was a creation energy that is still going today. Still going today. Zillions and zillions and zillions of square universes out there. And we're going to get to visit some of them when we go to heaven, I hope. I don't think they're just out there. Y'all think they're just out there? I think he's got some green pastures out there for us to visit with some horses and some cows and some, anyway. All right, time. There is no time with God. Anybody else? We were talking about how that the earth was formed and that it was a vast land at first, and then the Lord separated it with the separated the firmament with the waters. And of course you can tell by looking at the continents that things fit together at one time, and then he broke them up, you know, they all came out, and I don't know if that was during Babylon or whenever it was. There was some of that going on when he gave all the languages out and put them in different areas of the world. Somebody else talk. Listen to me sitting over here. Anybody get any revelations in the Word this week? Get a good word this week? Let me read you what I got. I got Joel 2:15 17 this morning, and I asked the Lord before I took it down. I said, Lord, do you want me to back up to 15, or do you want me to go forward from there? And he indicated he wants me to go forward from 2:17. So I did. I started at 2:17. I went through 26, I believe, 27. Yeah, 27. I'm just going to read that for you. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. Blow the trumpet in Zion. No, I'm sorry. 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. Praise God for these things that God has for us. Thank you, Lord, that we're walking in them. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I'm looking forward to the fullness of the former rain, and I'm looking for the latter rain as well. Lord, I thank you for it for all of us. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I hit the raised hand before you started reading that, but this is kind of along the same lines, and or a little earlier in Isaiah in 26 and 3, just one little verse here, that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in Jehovah forever, for in Jehovah, even Jehovah, is an everlasting rock. The perfect peace is the part I was getting at.
The Lord is an everlasting rock. We got to stand on that rock all the time. Don't let that rock fall on you. Fall on it. That's what he wants. Amen. All right, anybody else? Let's see. Missy, what was your word this morning? Was it? Gosh, I forgot.
It was Acts 23:7. Yeah. 13 is what I had.
You'll read it?
No. That's okay. I can read it if you want me to.
That'd be good. You said Acts 23:7, starting out.
Well, 1 to 13, but verse 7 is where I landed.
Oh, okay. 1 to 13.
Okay. And Paul, looking steadfastly on the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. And the high priest and Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall." I'm sorry, but that's kind of funny. Oh, forgive me, Lord, if I shouldn't laugh at that, but anyway. Okay. And sittest thou to judge me according to the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? And Paul said, I know not, brethren, that he was high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of a ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, touching the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great clamor, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees stood up. And strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, and what if a spirit hath spoken to him or an angel? And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be torn in pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified concerning me at Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
Amen. Paul was using his head there, wasn't he? He was causing a little bit of faction. To the good.
Yeah.
For his God.
To his benefit.
To his benefit, yeah. He had a little work to do, and he knew how to get out of that situation. Just imagine God was talking to him. Won't you say this, Paul?
Although he did regret it, expressed regret about it later, having done that.
You know what makes me think of, you know, how lots of times we pray that confusion into the camp of the enemy and scatter them. That's kind of like what he was doing.
Yep. That's what it sounds like. He got out of there anyway. Romans took him out of there. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Malcolm, how you doing, bro?
Well, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I've been listening to Leonard Ravenhill, and it's got me a little shook up here, but
that's good. I'm sorry.
Well, he's makes you think, you know. He was the bridge to the old, you know, to the Duncan Campbell people and the Welch Revival people, and he knew William Booth, some of those folks. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked Leonard Ravenhill.
Those guys are the real McCoy. Didn't mess around.
Yeah. He was a good man. All right, anybody else? We're going to have to cut a lot of silence out of this recording if somebody don't start talking. I'm just saying, okay? I think something we might ought to talk about is some end time stuff. If anybody has any questions about end time stuff, we could go over some of that. I don't know if anybody does or not, but I know a little bit about it, not a whole lot, but Yeah, George.
This isn't exactly end times as much as it is just keeping the same frame of mind as those first century Christians, where Paul's talking in 2 Corinthians 4. I got started in one part of that, but the whole chapter is just awesome, obviously. Talking about being delivered, 4:11. Well, where do you start and where do you stop? I guess actually 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And just trying to grasp how somebody can embrace that life, where it seems like the world would say, why don't you give up? Why don't you do something different? What kind of God, you know, especially in that pagan world, which we live in again, why would you serve a God that lets you get treated like this? But it's like somebody mentioned before, how the persecution and the blood of saints strengthens the church and makes it grow, and how the trials in this world and the things that we can't understand, but we give ourselves to this, a sold out life to God. It's like that lady who gave everything and poured out her treasure and anointed the Lord's feet and brushed them with her hair. And everywhere the gospel's preached, this woman will be mentioned. It's like wasting ourselves for Jesus and having a mind that says, you know, getting caught up in the usual, keeping up with the Joneses and all the stuff means very little, nothing compared to spend us, Lord, use us, do whatever you want to with us, you know, being a slave to his kingdom, being, you know, under, not quite understanding and never getting the full picture, but knowing that we're better off in any part of his will than we would be in trying to escape and get out of his hand. And these verses, stuff like this is humbling, and you don't hear it preached. You're not going to go somewhere in 400, 500 people crowd and hear somebody preach these verses. It's always going to be something else. But as we approach a world of persecution, and, you know, we may have 3.5 years of relative peace, but whenever the gears start turning on and God's people are turning towards him because of the way the beast is going to treat them, you know, we've got to keep this kind of mindset that says, you know, I'm in the harvest. I'm going to see fruit that remains. I'm going to share the word no matter the cost and be prepared for everything. And, you know, if we don't have all of these words in us, we can't just have sunshine and lemonade verses. We got to have all of it to get us through the hard stuff. That's all I got.
Amen. That's true. That's true. Sunshine and lemonade verses. I like that. That's true. Number 10, 2 Corinthians 4 and 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Ooh, come on, Jesus. Show yourself strong in me. Glory be to God. And that's, you know, that's that book, Perfection in Christ, that we're in now, how to manifest that Christ likeness that he wants so much out of us. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. He's talking to the apostates there. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed and therefore did I speak. We also believe and therefore also we speak. Knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus, who is he? It's the Father. Shall raise up us also with Jesus and shall present us with you. Amen. Yes, you're right. That's some good verses in there. Some great verses.
I shared those verses once in a Bible study. That didn't believe that your flesh, you know, that you're always going to have your flesh. You know, don't believe in perfection and, you know, believe once saved, always saved. They basically didn't know what to do with it. Actually, one brother kind of like could see the light bulb go on. And he, I don't remember what he said, but he it got his attention. Best of my knowledge, he isn't with this group anymore. He had been there years ago, and then he came back for a little bit, and he was coming to some small meetings and everything. But best of my knowledge, he's not. It was just a short-lived thing. So yeah.
Well, that doctrine that they have. Eternal, unconditional, eternal salvation. I've got a granddaughter that I've been ministering to. In fact, today I sent off a little short Bible study on just that same subject that came off the site. Unconditional, what's it called? Unconditional eternal security, I think. And it's only, I don't know, 25, 30 pages long. And I sent it off to her because we'd had some conversation. Now, she was spirit-filled at one time, and then she married and got with a Methodist. And since she didn't want to go to Methodist and he didn't want to go to Pentecostal church, they decided on the Baptist. You know, how many of you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And I saw that in her, because she didn't believe in that once before. And we sat down at the Mexican restaurant where we were, and I started telling her, I said, Tiffany, you got to go with the scriptures and quit believing what they're telling you, you know. And I went through all of that and went through a few. And she said, Papa, I said, I believe what you're saying, but I just believe that I'm not ever going to lose my salvation. And I said, well, the scriptures doesn't back it up. And you know, and I told her, I'll send you something if you promise that you'll read it, because your eternal security, your eternal salvation depend on the truth that you get from the Word of God, not from people. And so she said she would. So I sent that to her today, and it's an awesome short teaching on unconditional eternal security. That's pretty good. And Lord, I just pray that you'd anoint that and that she would read it and just open her mouth up and say, oh, my gracious, you know. Amen. I hope there's nobody in here that believes that. Anybody in here believe that? Tim, you believe that?
No, sir, but there was a time that it sure seemed awful easy to swallow, and it was pretty easy. You know, okay, cool, I'm saved. I've you know, like David said, shaking the preacher's hand with a couple bucks in the plate, we're all good. You know? thank the Lord that we've grown up out of that, left the milk.
Can I ask a question? I never did believe it. I never did believe it. I'd seen those scriptures in there that tells us, you know, you have to be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect, you know. And I see those kind of scriptures in there. I said, well, wait a minute. What about this one? What about that one? What about this one broken off over here? What about that one, you know? And all they give me some kind of runaround speech. And, of course, I didn't know what they was talking about. But when I finally came to the truth of it and found out what we are, what our job is to manifest Christ in our life, it made all the sense in the world, you know. and when you tell people about that, they just look at you like, you know, you're from another world. You're an alien. Because they don't understand it.
Well, I think I think George is right, though. You know, the sunshine and lemonade. I love that. That was good.
But, I do too. I like that.
You grow to an organized. You know, I grew up in an organized Protestant religion, and they didn't dig very deep into the word. You know, the sunshine and lemonade, and it's all good because you're here every Sunday, and you know, until you actually start digging into the word for yourself, it's pretty easy to swallow that line.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, it's convenient, you know. You don't have, I could see in the first church I was in that, hey, look, wait a minute, there, I got saved, okay? The next week I was teaching. Yeah. Yeah, kids. They're kids. I was teaching their kids. But, okay, I had this little Baptist book that I could teach them from. And they knew I wasn't going to mess up because I was going to stay with that book, man, because I didn't know nothing else. But once I went outside that book, started looking at what the word really said, whoo, I said, wait a minute. what about this healing business where I got healed last week? And y'all don't believe in that. What about that? What about this? So I started teaching them kids about faith. Woo, man, it was cool. And then I had the vision. Anyway, go ahead, Tim.
There's something just came to my mind when I was thinking about that, you know, when I was a kid in the Presbyterian church. There was one elderly gentleman that was in church every Sunday. There was probably 100 people that were regulars in the church. And there was one guy that had a Bible that, you know, the pages were tattered, and he carried it with him everywhere he went. And you could tell that he was into that book. And, you know, it was his security blanket. But the other 99 people, you know, I think their Bible sat in the bookshelf at home, and nobody ever, you know, opened it or was even encouraged to really open it and look for themselves. But his name was Will Shriver, and I remember, you know, you got great big hands and a great big Bible, and that thing was just tattered. You knew that he knew his way around that book. You didn't know why, but you knew he did.
Amen. Yeah, I've known people like that. I've known people like that. Hey, Willie, how you doing? Okay. You been preaching tonight? Yeah, I thought she was all spiffied up there. All right, anybody else? We've been talking about just a little bit of everything tonight. number 17 here, George.
Yeah.
For our light affliction.
Amen.
Which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Thank you, Jesus. It ain't going to be for naught, is it? Amen.
That's powerful stuff.
It is. The more I look at it, go ahead.
He's saying in 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes. So the audience that he's preaching to, he's saying that I go through all this stuff. It's just like Jesus for joy went to the cross. And he's saying it's all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. And maybe for God is to see glory put where it belongs instead of all these other vessels trying to collect glory for themselves. If true Christians will embrace this and go for it and give themselves to God, he will get the glory that's due to him. And the rest of that you were reading, that's exactly what I'm going to minister to my friend Dawn and try to spend some time building her up and seeing beyond that light affliction beyond that outward man that is decaying and declare the strength that she has in the inward man. It says it's being renewed day by day. That gives you hope. They're just saying,
yep.
I'm not looking for a moment of renewal sometime when I'm at the end of my rope. I'm going to be renewed day by day. Some awesome stuff. To jump off of that and go back to what you were talking about with those demon doctrines, basically, sometimes it's good that the devil overplays his hand. Like you go sit in a group and you see the angle of the person trying to deliver that. You know, they don't even want to chew on that message, so they jump right out of the word. You don't ever hear them go back to the word. They'll read 7 words in a scripture, and that's as much Bible as you get, because then it becomes the angle and the sales pitch. And how am I going to package this to make it palatable and not have somebody stand up in the congregation and call me on it? And you see people talking about that eternal security, how people would package it and be like, well, if God, you know, if we could lose our salvation, then God would just have us executed as soon as we get saved, so we would make it to heaven. And, you know, something that sounds so ridiculous. And then they move on from that, and that's their sales pitch. Like, you're supposed to hang eternity and your walk with the Lord based on what sounds like nonsense. You know, let's just move on. Let's don't talk about it anymore. And they ridicule. They use ridicule and threats of, you know, isolation to keep people from questioning and even being able to have a conversation about these things. And, you know, I hold on to that the truth can fight its own battle. The truth can stand exposure, and the truth can stand a little bit of questioning. And let's have those 2 or 3 witnesses. Let's find where the word backs itself up and explains and defines itself, instead of all these men taking what they had to sit through for 4 years in a cemetery. And, you know, it just makes you throw your hands up and you feel like there's no way to battle through this stuff. But God, with God, all things are possible.
Amen. That's right. I was telling y'all about that Egyptian Muslim that turned to Christianity and started finding the truth out because he got to reading the Bible. And the Coptic Christians were taking care of him. And they told him when they found out he was baptizing people that he was going to go to hell because he was just a layman. He wasn't a preacher. He couldn't go out there and do that, you know. And I guess they really believe that garbage. That comes from one fallen man teaching another fallen man what the Word of God says. I like what was it Paris Reed, I believe it was, said that one time. He said, you've got one fallen head teaching another fallen head this gospel that they have, and they're both headed for hell, you know. And it's so true. It's so true. But when people get to, that's just like, how many of you have been healed by God and that changed your attitude about where you were going to church because they didn't believe in healing? That's what happened to me. I got healed and I was in a church that didn't believe it. I said, hold on here. If God don't heal, how come I'm healed? Now get back. It's hard to mess with somebody that's got experience in it. It is. And I was hard to handle after that. As we all have done that same thing, you know. We come out of that apostate religion. I had some old ladies that were sitting on the back seat in that, you know, back, they call them backseat Baptist, in that big church. It's a big church. I don't know, about 500-600 people in that thing. And, well, they get excited with me. I tell them about all the healings I'd seen the weekend before, and they get all excited. Pray for me, Michael, pray for me. I said, not here. I said, man, they throw us all out of here. And I didn't think at the time that that would have been a good thing. But anyway, that's what we do, isn't it? All right, anybody else? Go ahead, George.
When I get in the middle of a lot of that stuff, I think back to an old term called ignorance gone to seed.
Yep.
And that's basically what it is. It's so compiled and stored up in a big old storage silo of junk. And it goes beyond the positive, the grace message that says there is a harvest coming. Get involved. And like you said, with those Egyptians, I had a girl sitting in I advise a Christian club on the campus at the college where I'm at. And I was telling this, you know, I was just trying to share some good news that over the weekend, a few years back, two of my sons got saved and I got to baptize them. And my sons got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to share some good news. And the only thing they asked me was, are you a pastor? And I'm like, oh, man. And
don't put that on me.
I'm just like, and since then, it's like thinking about the harvest. If we don't get used to baptizing people, if we don't get used to administering, you know, helping somebody be filled with the Holy Spirit and understand the power that's available, the authority that God's given us, and the multiplication of, you know, the sanctification of being saved and touching people that nobody else gets to touch, that this is, you know, this is a race to run. And it's coming whether people get involved in it or not. We might as well, you know, follow the Lord and let him live in us. And it, just having the light shine on people. I'm sure y'all deal with the same thing. It's just, it's almost amazing. Jesus, he marveled at a couple of things in the Bible. He marveled at belief and he marveled at unbelief.
Yes, he did. Go ahead, Missy. You wasn't just waving, was you?
What was that?
You wasn't just waving, was you?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay.
I have a pretty awesome experience. I don't know if I've ever shared this on Outreach, but it's on the website, my testimony about the first time I got a miraculous healing. The story goes like this. There was a brother and his wife that were were here with us, and he had open heart surgery, bypass or something, in like November, December, and it was like January, February, here at the house. And his wife, you know, she was getting out of the, you know, getting God out of the box, and, you know, she was believing it. She believed in divine healing and stuff like that. And anyway, she didn't say, I don't know what all the subject was, but I said about, you know, that I believe that God still heals. I said, even though I haven't experienced it myself, I said, I've read enough testimonies. And this was when, this was, the first time I read anything from UBM was November before this. And anyway, I had read enough stuff and read enough testimonies and heard enough what I did listen to of the Bible studies at the time. I said, you know, I still believe God does that. And I said, there was a particular thing that I said or something or whatever. I said, if it's by God's grace that we're saved, you know, and it's not of our works, I said, something like, well, then what do we need doctors for, you know? And anyway, I'm not sure if this was in this particular time that I said, you know, I feel like I think it is. I'm almost sure it is. I don't know. I said, I feel like I just got newly saved because, you know, I'm realizing there's a lot of stuff that I didn't believe. And anyway, but anyway, at one point he got really offended with me. And I won't say what he said, you know, it wasn't crude or anything, you know, of course, crude or foul or anything, but I just won't say what he said, but he got really offended with me. Because, you know, I was stepping on his toes about doctors, you know, and I wasn't saying it, you know, directly to him, you know, or anything. I was just making a general statement, you know, about doctors. But anyway, and it just blew me away when I thought about it after the fact. I mean, he mocked me, but anyway, but I didn't even, I mean, I considered myself back then like a baby Christian, and it didn't even offend me at all. And then, and I said to him, I said, well, you know, if, you know, I said, I hope and pray that someday, you do believe God for healing. I said, but until then, I don't want you to die, you know, go to a doctor, you know, or whatever, you know, until you believe, you know. And anyway, so anyway, the next day, you know, I went out for my daily walk, and what I had been having issues with for 2.5 years was I had a really bad bladder infection. And what it did, it caused me to have an overactive bladder, and it's just like your bladder just goes into spasms. And, you know, I could take a bathroom break before I went, and then, you know, get down the road just a little bit and have to go to the bathroom already. But anyway, so like I said, the very next day I went and I took my whole walk, you know, down the road and came back past the house, and I didn't have to take a pit stop to go to the bathroom. And I went and I came back and I said, oh my gosh, Merle, I said, I didn't have to stop and go, you know, use the restroom on the way by the house. And I'm like thinking, oh wow, am I healed, you know? And so then it took a few days of the same thing, you know, going for my walk every day. And then I realized I was healed, but it took me 2 weeks, till 2 weeks later, I was thinking about it. The Lord got my attention. And he showed me that when I made that statement of faith, saying, even though I haven't received any healing myself personally yet, I believe God still does that. And, you know, I'm believing that, you know, he's going to heal me of some things, you know. Well, he showed me that he instantly healed me then because of my statement of faith, my bold faith, even though I had never seen it in my own personal experience before. And I was like so excited. I was so pumped. That was such a faith booster for me. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that. That's, you know, my experience of, you know, people poo-pooing you on, you know, that kind of thing and all. So it was pretty cool.
Amen. Amen. It's always cool when you get healed in it. You know, God doesn't he doesn't charge anything. He didn't have to go out and get some drugs to make you feel better, you know. That's so cool when God does it. I've been healed of a lot of things. Praise God. Still being healed.
It was right around that time, too, that I stopped taking any kind of medicine at all. The biggest thing I would take was painkillers for headaches or for whatever, you know. And I just, like, I have never, and I might have taken maybe some vitamins for a little bit longer than that, but then I quit even doing that. And, yeah, I haven't taken anything since the beginning of 2011. And believe me, it was rough at times, you know, when you're in pain, but I know that, you know, trusting in Lord in faith, you know, believing him to heal me or to take away the pain or whatever, things that would regularly occur, you know, has greatly diminished, you know. And it's like I had no idea how bad some pain was that I had, or I never realized, it never dawned on me how often I would have a particular pain or have a particular issue when I stopped taking medicine. It just made me realize how dependent I was on it. And it was just, wow. And it makes you, you know, when I stop and think about it now, like, it just amazes me, the Lord's love and mercy and grace and, you know, healing and getting you through whatever it is that he did all that for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It's good. It's cool when God does all that good stuff. It's cool. I had a bad back years and years ago, and the doctor told me, said, well, I can give you some pain medicine. I said, I don't want any pain medicine. I said, that stuff is habit forming. And he told me, he said, well, this is not habit forming. He said it's just a little bit stronger than Tylenol or some garbage like that. He said, there ain't no way. He said, there's no cases of any kind of habit forming stuff that it has, you know. And I said, okay. So I took it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And then after I came to Christ and found out about healing, I got healed of this rotating cuff in my shoulder. I was at another church meeting. I think it was Jesse Duplantis' thing. This was back in 98 or somewhere along in there. 99, somewhere along in there. And out in the front of Happy Caldwell's church in Little Rock. And I was talking to these ladies out there. It's about my age, and we was talking about Jesus. She told me, what was her name? Well, I can't remember. Anyway, she told me that God has healed her, and she's waiting on another healing. She had MS. And I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, I got a bad back, you know. And she said, well, you want me to pray for your back? I said, yeah, if you want to. And she did, and God did, and I was healed right then, you know. And so that night, I said, I don't need that medicine. Next morning, I started feeling bad. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I started feeling bad. And as the day wore on, I got worse. And I took a pill, and I got to feeling better. Hey, I'm healed. Praise God, you know. And then I said, well, wait a minute. That pill did that. Let me take all, I'm not going to take another one. I take two a day. I take one in the morning, one in the evening. And I said, I won't take the one at night. Didn't sleep all night long. And I got up in the morning and I said, man, I feel bad. This is tough. I mean, my hair hurts, you know, on my arm. I'm telling you, I just hurt all over. So I took a pill. Everything was lovely again, man. I mean, I was just cool. I was shattered out, man. Everything was cool. I said, something's going on here. So I called my doctor. He's a PA, and we were good friends. I said, Charlie, these pills are habit-forming, I think. He said, ain't no way, Michael. He said, there's no way. He said, there's not an article anywhere that I can find that somebody. I said, let me tell you what happened, then you tell me what's going on. And I told him. He said, you're addicted to those things. I said, isn't that what I was trying to tell you? I said, that's what I was trying to tell you. He said, well, come up here. So I went up there, and he said, well, let me give you something to come off of those things. I said, Charlie, I ain't going to do what you want me to anymore. I said, I done got myself in a mess already. I said, I'm just going to believe God's going to get me off of this stuff. He said, Michael, it's going to take you 2 weeks to get off that stuff. I said, Charlie, it ain't going to take me 3 days to get off of it. I'll just hack it out. He said, okay, but I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. He said, you really need this. I said, no, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to believe God. And, you know, in 3 days, I was over. It was tough. It was tough. I mean, I sweated blood. I'm going to tell you something. I know how drug addict. I know that I'm exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating. It was pain. I'm not impervious to pain. I hate pain. And I had pain from here to my toes. I couldn't get out of bed for one day. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just locked up in that bed. And somebody come in the door, I'd get out of here. Leave me alone. You know. But the second day, it was a lot better. And the third day, I was over it. Don't let them tell you that stuff was not habit for me. But anyway, that was my experience with drugs. You know, I hadn't taken anything. I hadn't taken an aspirin since then. Praise God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take up all that much time telling about that. Went out to the, we have a sect of the Amish here. They call themselves the Plains people. And I go out there. David and I both will go out there. Sometimes I'll go out there with myself, by myself, and I've got a friend of mine that's in that thing there. And he told me one time, he said, why don't you drop by over there at the doctor's house and talk with her? I said, okay. So I stopped in there. It was two ladies, actually, that lived there, and they had all their kids there. I don't know what happened to the husband, but they're not there with them. Wasn't living with them or nothing. And I got to talking to them, you know, and I gave one of them a Sovereign God book. We got to talking, the doctor and I. And, you know, and I said something about God heals, you know, and gave her some scriptures. She says, God uses doctors now. I said, I can see right now I'm going to have some problem if I try to talk to her about Jesus healing folks. And I didn't question it at all. I just told her, I said, well, he's healed me a number of times of some things that I didn't use a doctor, and God got the glory. And her comment was, well, out here, we believe the doctors. I said, okay. All right. So sometimes you get that attitude. You run into those types of attitude. You don't sit there and argue with them. You can't argue with them. That was her livelihood. She had that idol there, you see. Okay, anybody else? Somebody else talk. Hi, Tracy. Bless you, girl.
Hey, guys. God bless you.
You too. Joe, are you waving your hand? Look at that. Joe waving. Hey, brother. How you doing?
I think I should do this from now on to get your attention. I'm right here. Hello.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was thinking about what you said, George, there, and I could use some prayer. I remember that, like you said, we got to get used to baptizing people and doing things. Well, doing what Christ did, doing what the disciples did, others said, you know, and I had said, yeah, I do agree. I mean, I haven't been faithful in that area, but I guess there was a time, I mean, like, pray, I'd like some prayer just to sift through this religious garbage, to put it nicely. You know, I think we've limited in the churches out there, and this was my experience, and I guess that's where a lot of the hesitancy and like you said, George, you know, it's like did someone ask you, are you a pastor? You know, are you a qualified for this, sir? You know, is the attitude they give off. And I've always been kind of hesitant thinking, well, there's a formula. You know, in the churches, it's almost they've limited God, or they've limited the ministry to, like, formulas, like quick steps. You know, there's like five simple steps to sharing your faith. I remember taking a evangelism class back in college. And, in the back of my mind, I always thought, really? It takes reading a book and then you can go out and share your faith to somebody? I'm like, what? You know, I'm thinking of all these different ideas and or just, you know, examples that the book probably doesn't talk about. And I'm like, it can't be this simple. It can't be this cut and dry. You know, this is the way it's got to be. So I'd like prayer. I mean, because I remember when I first became a Christian, before I started kind of church hopping and picking up demons and or just picking up goofy ideas, you know, I'm thinking, hey, this is how we got to do this and this is how we got to do that. You know, I'd like prayer just to kind of sift through all that nonsense and just get back to, okay, this is, you know, it doesn't really, I guess, you know, I mean, what I've learned is, or what I'm learning is not to put that, you know, okay, this is how we share our faith, you know, step one, step two, step three, this is how we pray for somebody, this is how we do this, this is how we do that, just kind of, I'm starting to realize again, you know, or I mean, I guess I should have known all along. Which I mean, in a way, I guess I kind of did, but didn't really pay much attention to it. There really isn't a set pattern. It's however the Holy Spirit leads, you know. I'd like prayer just to kind of discard all that nonsense, because yeah, it can keep you from really serving the Lord, as I'm realizing more and more. And I'm sure you guys know. From my experience of just going through various denominational churches and all that stuff and just picking up goofy ideas and just kind of, I don't embrace them anymore, but I'm just thinking that's probably, you know, there's probably still something there in the back of my mind saying, yeah, that's the way you got to do it. But I'm thinking, no, that's not true. So it'd be good to sift through all that and disregard it all.
Amen. Well, the best way to do that is get in the Word of God and to find out what the truth is. And that way that stuff will leave you. But I'll go ahead and pray for you. Lord, I just ask and I pray right now that you filter out any of that garbage that's in Joe's mind. I ask, Lord, that you put a hunger for the Word of God in Joe, and that he would also, that he would start listening to the audio files and all that stuff on UBM. He'll learn a lot just doing that. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to put a hunger in him for the Word of God so that he'll understand when he sees a wrong doctrine, he'll know it's a wrong doctrine. That'll give him discernment. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. All right, anybody else? One thing about those Plains people, the Amish people here, that I have found out about them that they like, I sat out in the front porch and one of this guy was telling me that I made friends with. He's a really likable guy. He's got, I don't know how many kids he's got running around there, but they have a lot of kids so they can work on the farm. They all, each family has about 5 acres that they take care of, and they have a produce store up on top of the hill up there that people from outside can come and buy fruit and vegetables during the summer and fall and spring. And that's how they make their living. And they farm with mules and horses mostly. Look like those Welsh workhorses. I can't remember the name of them. But anyway, I like to go out there and watch them. But I sat there one evening. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, I sat out there one evening and started talking about end time stuff. They are fascinated with that. They don't know a whole lot about it. Apparently, they haven't been taught a lot about it. And I sat there, and him and his wife, and they'd ask questions, and we'd go through it, you know. And I knew a little bit, not a whole lot, but what I knew, we'd talk about. And they were just fascinated with end time stuff. And it seems like it every time we go out there, that not every time, but every now and then he'll ask me something else, you know, about what's going on, you know. They don't have any electricity. They don't have any running water to speak of. I know David one time was out there at his house, and we saw out on the back porch he had a big stainless steel tub out there that they were heating and using it for water to wash their clothes with. And they to take a shower, he would haul hot water in there to the bathroom, to the tub. And David said, you know, Marlon, his name was Marlon, he said, you know, Marlon, it wouldn't take much for you to just run you a copper tubing down here for a shower, and you could have running water. And Marlon looked at him. He said, that's why God gave me these, you know. And he was standing there, had two pails of water in his hand. And this is why God made these muscles. I said, and David said, okay. they're pretty much bound up, you know, in law and stuff. You know, what's interesting about it, one time me and David was out there talking to Marlon, and he was showing us out to his fruit farm out back. He had about an acre of fruit trees and bushes and stuff. And when we was coming back, I looked over in his barn and I saw a table saw. I said, looky here, what in the world's he done with that thing? And then the same time, his brother-in-law came up and wanted to know who had the generator because he needed to borrow it. I said, what? Come on. You know, that's just the way they are. they kind of cheat a little bit, I guess, in their doctrine. You know, it's kind of fun to go out there and watch them, though. I love to go out there in the springtime and watch them break ground with them horses. Yeah, miss.
I'll tell you what threw me for a loop. I had bought a swing where you have both sides you sit on and has like a floor and you go like this, you know? Anyway, it got cremated August before last by a tree. But anyway, what blew me away is I bought it from an Amish guy and he had a cell phone. That blew me away.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, if they have to go up to Pennsylvania or somewhere like that, they'll pay somebody to come out there and pick them up and take them to the airport to get on a plane to go up to Pennsylvania. They don't get on that horse to ride up there. But it's interesting. You know, I love those people, though. They're very nice. They're always genteel type of people. And they're good people. I like them. God's going to use them during the tribulation here in this valley to help us out. They're going to be the ones that does all the work for the vegetables and stuff. And we're going to help them put some electricity in them houses. That's what we're going to do. They're going to have a different perspective when all the shaking starts, I believe. Praise God. Yeah, Joe.
I'm trying to remember, where did the Amish? I know there's like several sects of them. There's the Mennonites. You know, there are other groups. Where exactly did they come from? You know, I've kind of run into them here and there, but I'm not familiar. You know, I think up in northern Ohio, there's a little community, but that's. Does anybody know where at did they, you know, did they stem from? Because I think they go all the way back to the. I want to say 3rd or 4th century. I remember reading a book, and I guess some specific movement. I think they stem from. I forget which one. Have you ever looked into them, Michael?
A little bit. Somebody else may have more information than I do. I was going to look up a book that I was going to recommend. It's a book of martyrs from these Hutterites and those type of people. I can tell you this much about them. They're a whole lot different now than they were back then, because they were tongue talkers back then. They were tongue talkers, and they believed in healing. They believed in all of that stuff. They believed in the full gospel back then. And,
That book you're talking about is called The Martyr's Mirror.
Yeah, that's it.
And they basically came out of the 1400s and 1500s, I believe, out of Switzerland and Germany and those areas. They got rent out of all those countries and put to death and trapped and everything you can imagine. But they did believe in prophecy. Some of them were saved by heeding prophecy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did get away from all that and all the little splits and whatever you want to call it. But that Martyr's Mirror, I've got it. It's a book about, it might weigh 10 pounds. It's a big book. Traces everything from Stephen all the way through their history and tries to keep up with testimonies of people who were who didn't resist the violent men but chose God's way. They chose a path of non-resistance and had either a good testimony to the end where they endured burning at the stake and every kind of torture, or either God spared them and gave them favor with the people that were coming to rob them or treat them poorly. A lot of interesting history, but like you said, it's, you know, you got to base everything on the Word of God, and wherever you go after men's traditions, it's like David was just preaching, I think, about how these denominations, the founders wouldn't even recognize them, like John Wesley and some of those others. They'd be like, how the mighty have fallen, basically. This scripture that I shared with everybody over here out of, I may have lost where I got it from, but Joe was wanting prayer earlier, talking about fear of the Lord and talking about ministering to people. Well, this is our credentials here, but that first verse talks about making our aim, whether at home in the body or absent, to be well-pleasing unto God, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, receiving the things that we've done in the body, good or bad. And down further, it talks about verse 18, all things are of God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's our ministry right there. If anybody wants to know who ordained us, we're reconciling the lost, the brothers that might not know their brothers. They need to hear the good news so that they can respond appropriately and be reconciled to the Father. And to them, it's life. And to those that are perishing, it's judgment.
Amen. You know, somebody had years and years ago when I was out, gave me the Roman road. Now, this is how you got to do it, Michael. You got to go through the Roman road. Well, in the first place, I'm not one to sit there and and try to remember all that stuff, you know. And I tried that, and I tried, you know, I take it with me, and I say, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that, da 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 da. Until I finally run across that scripture where the Lord says, just to repent and believe. I said, oh, I ain't got to go on this Roman road that I can't remember. Praise God. You know? And so that's what I started doing. Just all you got to do, folks, is repent and believe. What do you believe? Well, believe what the Word said. Believe what God is telling you to do. He the walk is by faith. Completely. It's all by faith. You know, and then I went after that in that respect. That Roman road to me was a mess. Okay. Well, what time is it? Yes, this time got a few minutes left. Is that it? I got the PDF version. Yeah. Oh, my gracious. That thing. What page are you on?
We on 4,075 or something like that.
Wait a minute, let me unmute you. I can't, you go ahead.
I'm on about 100. I hadn't got through the introduction hardly, just there. It's a neat book because it was a lot of wood carvings were depicting the actual tortures and the martyrs and real artistic woodcuts that they would stamp on those books. And it got lost for hundreds of years. And basically when the German or the Amish came to Pennsylvania, they revived it in their little town there and started printing it again. And they had those woodcuts that they could stamp and the original artwork or whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty interesting anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I was going to say something about that. Oh, I know what it was. If you go on YouTube, oh, yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah. If you go on YouTube, there's a lady on there that's reading out of, I don't know, maybe that thing that you got there, the Martyr's Mirror, but it's some kind of old book that they've written from years back when they first started out. Yeah, Buried Alive. Yeah. And she was talking about, folks, these people are being healed by God. They're believing God for it. And we need to start this back with us. You know, she was one of those Amish or Plains people or whatever sect it was. Might have been Mennonites. I don't know. They all come out of that same stuff. and they do like Baptists. They'll have a, you know, different sect for whatever. But she was getting excited. Look at here. It says here that old, what's his name, was healed here of this when they prayed for it. And, you know, and she went through a bunch of stuff like that. And look, they're prophesying here. They're talking in tongues, too. They're being baptized in the Holy Spirit. More, she was getting excited over that stuff. She said, we need to be doing this. And, hey, even they can come out of that law that they're in. That's just law is all it is. Just law. Okay, well, we're about out of time. Does anybody got anything else they want to add before we close out tonight? Well, Father, I just thank you for helping us out tonight. We just kind of had a potpourri tonight, and I guess that's the way you wanted it, and that's good. Lord, I just ask that you place it in us to keep on praying for each other and keep everything just make sure, Lord, that we understand that we ask you to show, ask you to show us any darkness in our heart that we can repent of, Lord, and get anything out of us that's not pleasing to you, Lord. Help us to get rid of all of that stuff, Lord, so that we can walk in that holiness that you want us to walk in. And, Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters. I ask, Father, that your angels be around about them, Lord, protect them, provide for them, do the things that they ask you for, Lord, place it in their hearts to be praying all the time, and that, Lord, that we be praying in the Spirit as well for the things that we don't know that you want us to pray about that the Holy Spirit does. And I just thank you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep, and that when we come back together again next Tuesday night, that we'd all be refreshed in you, Lord. If that's your will for us to meet next Tuesday night and ain't nothing worldwide happen, Lord, it'll be a good time. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to pray for each other also, Lord. And thank you for that. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. They're an awesome group of folks to be with, and we're coming closer and closer to this great happening that you got planned for us. And Lord, we're going to need one another. I know that you're going to probably be translating folks back and forth, and maybe some of these sisters and brothers out here would be a part of that. That'd be awesome. Lord, that'd be just so awesome. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in all of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man, I got to quit that yawning. Well, good night, folks.
All righty.
Blessed.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all. Bless y'all.
Good night. Good night, Tracy.
Good night, really.
Good night, Barbara.
Bless y'all, Lucas Love.
Okay, like a slow bill. We'll see you later, brother. Amen. Good night, Willie.
Bye bye.
Good night, Megan. Good night, Barbara.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Good night, welcome. Good night. Good night, Tracy. Good night, Tim. Good night, Missy.
Thank you.
Bless you. Good night, Wade.
Love you guys. Have a good night.
Good night. All right, we will. Good night. Okay.